A Saturday tradition. The Sports Corner on ESPN 100.3 New Orleans.
And good morning to everyone in Southeast Louisiana. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Casey Gisclair here, Stan Gravois across the way. We've got kind of an abbreviated schedule today. We're going to be going 9:30 to 11. You ask why the abbreviated schedule? Of course, it's to accommodate folks that are wanting to watch the LSU football game, including the two hosts of this show. We're looking forward to watching the LSU football game a little later today. That'll be at 11 o'clock. Tigers taking on Missouri. We've got sort of a half-cooked high school schedule. Some teams played Wednesday, some teams played Thursday, several teams are playing over the weekend. We're going to break all that down in this segment. But in 10 minutes, we're going to go to South Terrebonne and have their football coach Archie Adams on the line. At 10 o'clock, we're going to have Assumption football coach Keith Menard on the line. Both of those men have already led their teams to victory in week two. We're going to talk some MLB playoffs, some New Orleans Saints, and then we'll make our picks and all that good stuff on this 90-minute edition of the Sports Corner. But, Stan, we already have some Week 2 games in the cooler and some surprising results. I guess sort of the game of the night was a shootout on the river, Hondville outlasting Terrebonne 47-40, a game that was a thriller, a game that went down to the wire, and a game, quite frankly, I think that showed, even though in defeat, Terrebonne is capable of going out and playing some of those big River Parish schools to a close, hard-fought defeat. I think both teams have some reason to feel pretty good about themselves after this one.
Yeah, it also shows that Jalen Lucas can play with anybody, and he can
absolutely
run with anybody. But he could not be stopped by Hornville in that game, and, of course, having over 200 yards rushing, that means that in two games, to start this crazy, crazy season, in two games, he has over 500 yards rushing. Just truly amazing for that young man. Yeah, Terrebonne's going to be right in the thick of things in that district. Of course, it was a big win for Destrehan this week after those guys losing their first game. They lost to St. James on Thursday night, meaning that it looks like it's going to be the usual same usual suspects in that district. Big game for Terrebonne this week against Thibodeau. Of course, Thibodeau hadn't even played their week two game yet. So I would imagine Terrebonne's probably got a little bit of an advantage now because they played last Wednesday. If they had any bruises and bumps, they have time to let them get better. Whereas, again, Thibodeau's going to be playing tomorrow on Sunday against Central Lafourche. Yeah, I think Terrebonne's one of those teams that on any given night, they can compete with anybody probably in the state. Jalen Lucas is a huge part of that.
One thing that I thought was surprising in week one was not that H.L. Bourgeois beat Ellender, but that H.L. Bourgeois kind of separated from Ellender. But then you look at the week two result where they play East St. John and don't necessarily get creamed and only lose by a couple scores. Maybe H.L. Bourgeois is a little bit better than what we realize. And then on the flip side of that, Ellender plays McMaine and kind of puts it on them. So it does kind of look like a situation where it wasn't necessarily in week one that Ellender was so poor. H.L. Bourgeois kind of outkicked their coverage and losing just by a couple of scores against East St. John.
I'm going to still hold reservation on all of that and wait for it to play out maybe a couple of more weeks. I would agree that it seems. And listen, Jordan Rainey, the quarterback of H.L. Bourgeois, is extremely talented. He is a very athletic and a good quarterback. They've been having a kid back there in the backfield, William Babbitt, for we've been calling his name for two or three years now, and he's a senior this year. So I do think there sort of is that chemistry with H.L. Bourgeois and that cycle of kids has come through, and it makes them stronger as seniors this year. Again, I'll hold reservation because East St. John in week one just got by a Sophie B. Wright team. And I was thinking to myself, I know Sophie B. Wright is very athletic, but let's see how they do in week two. Well, they got blasted in week two. I mean, just totally demolished. So I'm trying to figure how good East St. John is. You know, it takes a couple of weeks to start this all out. So I'm still kind of holding on to that. But I do agree. I think that all indications are that H.L. Bourgeois is a much better team. The problem is you got to play in District 7-5A, so every week it's tough. And I think they have Destrehan this week, so that makes it even tougher. Allendale, I'm so happy for Jesse Turner to get that first win, both on a professional and a personal level. I know that was huge for him. And they went out, took care of McMaine. McMaine is not traditionally a strong program, yet they're not just a doorstop, either. That they just kind of like are not a bump in the road. So that was a good win for Ellender, too. And listen, anybody who got their team ready to play on a Wednesday night, because I have never heard of varsity football being played on a Wednesday, especially after playing the prior Friday, getting all pumped up, it being the first game of the year. Kudos to those coaches that got their teams ready to play. That's a very unique situation to have to come back and play on a Wednesday night. Of course, both teams had to do it, but still a unique situation.
No doubt. So our week two scoreboard locally is as follows. Assumption 35, Denham Springs 10. Kudos to Coach Menard and the guys for getting their first win. Dutchtown 31, Vanderbilt 20. Dutchtown's a good football team. I think that was a pretty strong showing from Vanderbilt, all things considered. East St. John 34, H.L. Bourgeois 20. Ellender 30, McMaine 14. Hanville 47, Terrebonne 40. LaRanger 55, Covenant Christian 6. South Terrebonne 55, Patterson 34. West St. Mary 44, Homa Christian 0. And Thursday night, Destrehan 21, St. James 2. Man, I saw some clips of South Terrebonne and Patterson. The Arsenal kid is smooth as silk. He reminds me a little bit of Roethlisberger in that he's making plays in the grass, but under pressure, taking hits while he throws. The guy's not afraid of anything, and South Terrebonne hung a 55 spot on Patterson on Wednesday.
On the high school level, that's a good analysis, because he kind of looks like a Roethlisberger. Obviously not as big as that man, but he, on the high school level, he does look sort of like Roethlisberger, and I think they're going to be really good on offense. I'm curious to ask Coach Adams a little bit about his defense, because I know they're extremely young and they're going to have some growing pains with that, but that's what these first few games of the year do for you. They get those things out of the way, and you learn a lot about your team, so it's curious to see how they're going to be going forward. I did have the opportunity to go to the Vanderbilt game. Those guys actually gave up two tip passes for a touchdown, so they gave up two pick sixes early in that game against Dutchtown, and sort of from then on out, Vanderbilt, I don't necessarily want to say was the better team, but they were right there with Dutchtown, and we know Dutchtown is a really good program, so... And unfortunately, in our area, and of course, we hadn't seen single-A football in this area forever, and then probably about 5-6 years ago, we have Homa Christian and we have Covenant Christian. Those two teams are struggling this year. I think it's just a matter of not having a cycle of kids coming through right now that are particularly strong overall. I'm not saying that there are not some individual great performances, but overall, and those two teams are... They're finding out what it's like when you don't have a loaded backfield or a bunch of guys on defense who can make plays.
It feels like you kind of saw the light switch go off in Napoleonville, and what I mean by that is Assumption got shut out in week one. Assumption only scored 6 points in the first half of Wednesday's game. In the second half, they exploded for 4 touchdowns. And maybe you're kind of starting to see things develop there. Sage Revere threw for 4 touchdowns. Jaden Tyler caught 11 passes, almost 200 yards. You knew it was a matter of time, but it looks like their offense finally got rolling a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think anybody doubted that was going to happen. When it was going to happen, we weren't sure. A lot of credit to E.D. White last week and what they did to shut out that offense. Yet, you mentioned it after the scrimmage week to Coach Menard. They didn't finish in the scrimmages. Well, they didn't finish against E.D. White either, as they moved the ball against E.D. White, but they couldn't get it into the end zone. Obviously, in the second half of the game against Denham Springs, they found out a few things, and they got it in the end zone. And kudos to all of Assumption High School as a whole, because I know they celebrated the life of the young man, Remy Hidalgo, before the game playing Denham Springs. And, of course, that young man passed away tragically of a heat stroke. So kudos to that school for just, recognizing the young man and having a nice little ceremony before that game started.
So the Terrebonne Parish and Assumption Parish part of our schedule are complete. The Lafourche Parish part of our schedule has not yet even started. We've got St. Charles Catholic and E.D. White today at 6. We've got Central Lafourche and Thibodaux tomorrow. We've got Lutcher and South Lafourche tomorrow. Both games will be played under the afternoon sun. Very quickly before the break, Central Lafourche is going to be without a bunch of guys. South Lafourche is going to be without their skill guys, all based on that COVID situation from last Friday's game. Hate to, you know, be a Debbie Downer, but there are going to be, and we warned everybody all summer, there were going to be some weird things that were going to happen. Lo and behold, you've got South Lafourche who's going to be without running backs and receivers against a Lutcher team, and you've got Central Lafourche be without God knows how many against Thibodaux. As the new world in which we live, there are going to be some crazy results around the state because of things exactly like this.
Yeah, and I guess we can't look at this game as being on an even playing level, these games, I should say, this weekend related to Central and South. But it is the new world we live in. I guess, you know, in the big scope of things, I'm glad they are playing and we didn't have to shut anything down. Yet I hope that nobody is hurt because of the lack of depth. It does allow you to get some kids playing time. It's going to be a unique situation. And I'll ask you this, Casey, because I don't know the answer to it. If a South Lafourche kid is not playing this week against Lutcher, what are the possibilities of that kid maybe playing next week against, say, a Bell Chase?
Pretty good, because they're moving the game to Saturday to accommodate the 14-day quarantine period.
Oh, very good. No, I love that. I think that's absolutely great. I'm not sure I'm crazy about that 14-day quarantine, because remember, folks, these kids from South Lafourche didn't test positive at all. You know, I mean, they're being quarantined because they came into contact. I guess they contact traced the situation. And, yeah, I'm glad that they have the opportunity to only miss one game. And I feel kind of bad for them just missing one game.
And they're also accommodating Bell Chase, which is the 14th day is Friday. If
yeah.
Yeah,
Bell Chase, the entire team is out.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize Bell Chase hadn't played yet at all, right?
That's correct. This will be their first game, and as it would have stood is if they would have played the game Friday, Bell Chase would have gotten two practices and then a game. Now they'll be able to have three practices and a game. So it works out for everybody to move the game to Saturday.
That makes sense. And I do wish I would have known the inside goings-on with the E.D. White St. Charles Catholic game, because there was a lot of moving around and then cancellation and then we're not playing and then a lot of people getting really mad saying, hey, they didn't want to play. Hey, they didn't want to play. And now they're playing it tonight.
It's going to be a very chippy game for all of those reasons. Those teams are going to look forward to facing one another. The Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical
Hang
Center
on, guys.
Sports Institute.
Time out.
What's
time
up?
Out. Guess who? He's online.
Oh, we got Coach Rod?
He's online.
Fire away, Coach Rod. Good morning, man. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We played football. The Hurricane didn't come our way, and it was a good scare.
Absolutely.
And we had to play on the Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, but we played. And
listen, I'll throw this in there, too. Not playing last night, Friday night, probably was a smart thing, because I would have never thought we would have got the wind and the rain that we got last night. That maybe was the most weather we've had associated with any of these scares. So not playing on a Friday night probably was a smart thing for a lot of teams to do.
Well, I looked at the weather channel this morning in Jennings. I mean, you know how the Jim Cantore stands out in the middle and the wind's blowing. This was at 5:30 yesterday afternoon. About the same time we were getting our weather. So it was,
right.
And it didn't last long, but we, you know, we had what we had.
Coach Rod, I know that you're going to go to at least a couple of these games over the weekend. Where are you going to be, brother?
Well, St. James is, I'll be St. James. E.D. White and St. Charles is right there at the back door, so probably there. And it's Sunday afternoon, probably Thibodaux High.
Very good. What are you expecting to see from that EDY team? Look, they posted an impressive showing in week one, shutting out Assumption. St. Charles is going to be maybe a little bit of a step up in class. You know, that's a prominent program. Do you think that they could pull off the upset?
Well, I've watched them practice in all of the pandemic. They were doing some great fundamental drills, and it paid off against Assumption. And I went and watched them practice, and they were still doing their fundamentals. And just a little bit of things, a little bit of tackling drills, a little bit of getting off the block drills, you know, Kyle has done a great job with, you know, changing the culture of the program and getting, you know, getting more people involved. He's got more coaches involved. And when you play Frankie Monica, you better expect the unexpected, because he's going to run his offense all of a sudden. On about the third or fourth series, he's going to come out in a different offense, and he's going to put you in the bind. If you're not ready and your kids are not ready, he's going to do something that's going to change the tide, change the field position. Then he gets you, if you play him even, he's going to get you somewhere in the kicking game. Because he'll return a punt, return, you know, his kickoff sometimes. Kids don't know, he just pushes it to the guy he knows not used to handling it. And of course they're gonna bobble it, bumble it, and they're gonna recover. And he does all kind of great things in the kicking game. That's what I look at. So E.D. White can play him head up. They're gonna play him on the offense, they're gonna play him on the defense. They've got a lot of momentum, and you know, you just gotta keep battling them. And you know, playing on a Saturday night, it's a different role. You don't know how your kids are going to show up. Remember, they're 15, 16 years old. They're out of routine. But the biggest thing in all of this, the biggest constant, is that our high school players, if you tell them, you know, when we got to change the game, it's okay. It's good. You know, all they want to do is play. You know, you practice. You're going to play on a Friday night. No, we're going to play on Wednesday night. Okay, coach, let's go. I mean, they're so resilient. And they're so eager, so they just show up and play.
I got to tell you, St. Charles Catholic beat Slidell last week, 17-0. And, of course, like we do, we wait for the second week to see how those teams do. Slidell went out and blasted somebody this week. So not only is St. Charles going to be a good offensive and special teams team, they're obviously going to play good defense, too. So it'll be a huge test for E.D. White.
Yeah. And I went to the Vanderbilt game the other night, and Vanderbilt kept the game all night. I mean, I think Dutchtown must have run the ball 10, 12 times in the first half. Vanderbilt had it the whole time. They forgot to score. I mean, they'd be giving up the two picks. Wow, how do you overcome that?
I do know this. Vanderbilt ran 91 offensive plays. Anybody who knows anything about high school football, to run 91 offensive plays is unbelievable.
Look, you get to 50, 55 in high school, that's a great number. 90-something, that is unbelievable. And you lose.
That's right.
Coach, before we let you go, LSU looked poor in week one, looked much better last week against a lesser opponent. What do you expect today? It's going to be a kind of a change in routine. You know, it was supposed to be an 8 o'clock game at home. Now it's going to be an 11 o'clock game on the road. What are you expecting from the Tigers today?
Well, it was like, Vanderbilt rushed for like 180-something yards against them, and we only rushed for, what, 160, 170? We can't sustain that and be successful. I mean, we got to take the ball out of Brennan's hands. He can't be in his hands. Got to be in a running back's hands, making first down, play action. Then Brennan's going to be very successful. But besides, if we don't run the ball for 250, 300 yards, we're in trouble. Against bad teams. I mean, that's my thing. I mean, right now, until Brennan gets hit in the mouth and knows what to do with the ball, I mean, you know, fast. I mean, he's got to get rid of it, you know, and the coach has got to take care of it with the play call. So that's my take on it. Run the ball, stop the run. Brennan has a great chance of being successful.
Totally understand. Coach, thanks so much for the time. Look forward to seeing you here at a ball game here in the next couple of weeks.
Y'all going to do the Salafouche game tomorrow?
Sure will.
Oh, good. All right. I'll have my radio
Take
in
care,
my ear.
Friend. Sounds good. That is Coach Rod doing a great job, as always. He's going to be at that EDY game, and I'm sure he's going to be at a ball game or two around the weekend in addition to that one. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. South Terrebonne football coach Archie Adams on the line. His Gators got a victory against the Patterson Lumberjacks. We'll talk about that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and also KLEB.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. The DA's office is prosecution, but it's so much more. Lafourche deserves a DA that's experienced in the courtroom, a DA that is active in the community, and a DA that's available to advise local government bodies. Our office is proven to be exactly that, an office committed to serving and protecting the citizens of Lafourche.
Early voting begins October 16th, and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
We want to thank Coach Roth for his time. In the last segment is the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. It's crazy. It does not feel like a hurricane passed in southeast Louisiana just 12 hours ago. There's bright sun in the sky, nice little breeze blowing. We go to the phone lines now. South Terrebonne football coach Archie Adams on the line. Archie, good morning, man. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, man. Your football team was able to get out the chutes early this week, played Patterson, and it looked like it was a bit of a shootout. You guys getting the big win. Talk about the way you guys played to get the victory.
Yeah, we were happy again the second week in a row, definitely offensively. Steve and Mike Barber complement each other well with run and pass and just different looks. And we can line up each drive and hit you on a different play. So that part of it's really good. And our defense is going to get there. We're young. You start five sophomores, and we lost our best defensive lineman, one before the season even started, and one at Terrebonne. So we're kind of, Justin and David McCormick and Caleb, they're trying to mix and match and put people in different places, and they're doing a good job of piecing it together, and I think we're going to get that rolling pretty soon, too.
Progress being made there, at least during the Patterson game, do y'all see where there's some guys who are stepping up and you're going to be able to maybe plug them in on defense and it'll be okay?
Yeah. Look, Fred, we gave up a lot of big plays and things like that, but I was talking to Justin just yesterday, and we also have seven turnovers in two games. We created seven turnovers, so it's, you're not totally doom and gloom. We're hoping that our offense can keep rolling to where we could catch those guys up, the best you can as far as playing a lot of sophomores and first-year guys.
Coach, I saw some clips of your quarterback play on Wednesday, and Stan and I talked about it in the first segment. He looks like Ben Roethlisberger out there, and what I mean by that is he's making throws from the grasp. I saw he almost completed a pass where he was almost laying on the ground. Like, the play's never over with him, is it?
No, yeah, Christian does a great job of, and he does a great job of using his size and his balance. I mean, he's literally throwing off players, like you said, and they pulling him down, and he's making throws on the money. You know, I think he was 12 or 13 for 26, but that's including four or five drops. So, you know, I mean, but our offensive line's doing a great job as far as keeping people off of him. But even when they blitz and all, sometimes that's a mistake. You get him out of the pocket, he's even more dangerous.
He looks cerebral, too. He looks like the kind of kid who kind of looks off some of the defensive backs. It looks like he understands the progression. It looks like he kind of reads things pre-snap where he looks across the defense and figures things out. Is he that cerebral? And I know it's tough for you to answer that, because if you say no, I'm not trying to imply that he's not a smart kid, but from the standpoint of those quarterbacks who kind of understand, and it gives them that one little edge, that one leg up by understanding pre-snap what's going on, he looks like he has it. Is that the case?
Yes. Yeah. I'll tell you what, he and Mike Barber, you know, he's walking to, sometimes the play's not even quite over yet, and he's walking to the sideline telling Mike, look, this next play's going to work. You know, so yeah, you're right. He follows it. He studies it during the week, and the offensive coaches do a good job of, coming up with these game plans that the kids can understand. I mean, Mike Barber has pretty much the whole playbook on their wrist, you know, so he kind of simplified it. I know it sounds weird. It's more, but it's simplified. So you could do a whole lot more with the kids, not just running the ball, but throwing the ball. But, yeah, Christian does a great job of knowing what works, knowing what doesn't work, and he'll come and argue, say, I don't think that's going to work kind of thing. So, yeah, he definitely studies the game plan and works on it like that.
Coach, you got a little extra time to prepare for EDY, and it's also going to be your first home game after all the – you know, the different ways that you got to travel and different things like that with the COVID. Talk about how nice it's going to be to be playing in the Swamp in front of your home fans.
Well, I don't want to jinx myself, so maybe I'll call you up Friday at 7 o'clock and say, hey, we finally playing at home.
That's right.
No, it's going to be great, I hope. It looks like the weather's going to be great. And it's due. Our kids deserve a home game. And hats off to Patterson for allowing us to, you know, I got to give them credit. We sold season passes at South Terrebonne, and they accepted them over there. So, I mean, that was a big deal, you know. They really helped us out when we got in a bind over here. But yeah, it's going to be big, and we're going to need it. We all know E.D. White's a well-coached football team, and they don't make a whole lot of mistakes, and they don't quit on you. So it's going to be a test, but I'd rather play them in the Swamp than anywhere else.
And listen, the routine gets messed up again just a little bit because, of course, E.D. White's playing tonight on a Saturday night. How does that transpire with you working with your staff to get ready for E.D. White? Do y'all go in tomorrow? Do y'all just wait till Monday and start preparing for E.D. White on Monday? How is that going to work?
Well, we had one film, so they pretty much cut that film up actually before we left. For the storm on the Thursday, so we swapped the first game, and then we'll probably swap late tonight, tomorrow, and then I know those guys. I know Justin and McCormick and the defensive guys. They're probably going to meet. But you know, thank God for this technology. I tell you what, you know, because through text messages and this and that, you know, I saw this on film. There's a lot of things you can do without actually being in the same room. So. Being this awkward, you know, situation, technology is going to help us a whole lot. But we're hoping to have that game plan in the kids' hands on Monday, definitely.
Coach, I'm looking at the schedule. E.D. White, Assumption, South Lafourche, Vanderbilt. That's the meat of your schedule here in the next month. So I got to ask you, through two games, are you guys ready for that challenge?
Yeah, I think we are. Like I said, you know, we gave up some yards. We gave up some big plays. And our emphasis is on defense. And we're going to continue to mix and match and try to come up with that best 11 by the time we hit district, and that's what we want to do, you know. And again, E.D. White's going to be a good challenge. We have to tackle better. There's no two ways about it. They'll they'll hurt you with that wing T, you know, and if you don't tackle them and you're not in the right place, they could gut you. Like we were watching them a couple of times in the Assumption film.
And real quickly, I mean, we're both remiss not to congratulate you on your first win as a head coach.
Absolutely.
On the high school level. So congratulations on that. You did mention the young man on the defensive line. I know it looked like a really serious injury. Is there any chance of him playing at all this year?
I would say no. Now look, thank God it wasn't a fracture like they thought it was. You know, so we just happy
right.
that he's back. You know, he's back at home, and I'm thinking it's more of a pain tolerance. Kind of deal and a nerve kind of deal. So I would be shocked if, you know, if that would happen this year. But, and again, he was such a vital part. He's a great kid. And I mean, you saw, he was at the Terrebonne game before he got hurt. And he was, you know, Terrebonne's a very good 5A team and he was all over the place, you know. So having him out is big and part of the reason why we're doing this scrambling around and trying to mix and match kids and give different looks on defense. But no, I'd probably say no.
Coach, well, look, we thank you so much for the time and good luck next Friday against E.D. White, okay?
All right, thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. That is Archie Adams getting his Gators ready after a week 2 win for, as we said, the meat of their schedule. South Terrebonne is strong. You lose to Terrebonne by just 7, you're strong. You put 55 points on Patterson, you're strong. And I know he's talking about, oh, our defense is young, and there's no doubt about it. But at the same breath, they were well in control of that game throughout the first half. They led 45-13 at halftime. Some of the points they gave up were kind of garbage points. But that's, in a sense, that's almost kind of good sometimes, because you could then keep the kids' attention in practice, say, hey, we gave up 30-something points. You know, we've got to play better. But I think that we both would agree, Stan, they didn't necessarily, you know, play poorly on defense. They just kind of, whenever the game was out of reach, you know, kind of gave up some garbage time scores.
Yeah, and that's the only thing, and I don't consider it a criticism, but after watching them against Terrebonne, if you have somebody like a Jalen Lucas, who, by the way, is so special that I don't even know if I'm making a valid comparison, I'm sure Patterson had a couple of guys who had that kind of athletic talent to a certain degree. That's the only thing. If somebody breaks out into the open field, South Terrebonne may not have the speed to get out there to get them, but if you're just going to try and run your offense, they're going to be in the right place and they're going to make plays. He talked about tackling. Usually it's a pretty good tackling team, and if they get that just right, if they improve on that, I think they're going to be in the thick of things. District 8-4A for the first time, I can honestly say this in a long time, I really think is going to be not only a good district, but I think it's going to be a coin toss every Friday night between some of these teams. I do realize that Morgan City is not there yet, and Ellender's working to get there, but the rest of these teams, it's going to be a good district, very competitive.
It's going to be fun. Can't wait to see it all play out. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. One coach in that district is Keith Menard. His Mustangs got a win over Denham Springs. We'll talk to him about that. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, and 102.7 the new KLEB.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's Workplace Readiness Team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabert at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Hey everyone, Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover. Excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. They're located at 3829 Vets, right behind the Fidelity Bank building, Suite 101B. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self. Testosterone therapy, annual physicals, and IV therapy. Look, go get tested. They have on-site labs. You can get test results while you're there. Low T can produce physical changes like reduced energy and increased body fat, reduced libido, ED, and give you emotional changes. Visit menstotalhealth.net today and see if they can help you.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Thursdays, come have lunch with the Sports Hangover as we are live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive, literally the corner of 18th and Ridgelake. Enjoy outside and once again inside dining when you order from the full menu. Delicious burgers, fresh wraps, meatball sliders, wings, and daily specials can be enjoyed while sipping your favorite beverages. Happy hour 3 to 7 every day, that includes weekends, where you can enjoy special prices on specialty cocktails and appetizers. It's the Sports Hangover, Thursdays at Vinny's, 12 to 3 in Metairie on ESPN New Orleans.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Saturday morning. We go to the phone lines. Assumption football coach Keith Menard on the line. Coach Menard, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Hopefully y'all made it through everything all right last night.
Sure did. And hope the same for you and yours, Coach. It feels like a situation where after six quarters of kind of struggling offensively a little bit, you guys kind of had the light switch flip off in the second half, put four touchdowns on the board against Denham Springs. Talk about, you know, how good it feels, A, to get the win, and B, to kind of get things rolling there in the last couple of quarters and put some points on the board.
Well, you know, it's always nice when you get a W, and especially against a really good program like Denham Springs. They got a new coach, Brad Beard, who I know very well. And, of course, y'all know Ryan Fournier's over there. And it just, really good staff, really good program. And I was glad the way we came out and played. We left a couple on early in the game. We left a couple out there. We had a chance to probably score a couple or more in the first half. We didn't. But I was proud of the way we battled back in the second half and really just played extremely well. I was pleased with all three phases of the game, and we're just going to have to keep that going.
Talk a little bit about, and Casey mentioned this after your scrimmage when we had talked to you then, finishing up, and, because you did move the ball against E.D. White. It was just a matter of little mistakes, little things, as you just mentioned. Do you feel better about that? Do you think your team's, like Casey said, a light bulb is starting to go off, so to speak?
Well, sure. I had to show them after E.D. White that it wasn't as bad as they thought. That we, on offense, when one guy makes a mistake, sometimes that screws the whole play up, And so we really cut down on mental mistakes this week. I thought we were more physical than we were against E.D. White. I didn't think we ran the ball enough against E.D. White. And this week, I thought we, made a purpose of trying to run it. And we did, and it's amazing how that opens everything else up. Thought the mental mistakes were, were down, way down compared to E.D. White game, and that's something we're just going to have to continue to do,
Coach, one thing I like about you is that you take so much pride in what you do. And I remember in 2018, you guys lost 31-0. Now, this was at Central Lafourche then. You guys lost 31-0 against East St. John. And I remember you coming on that next Saturday and saying, hey, look, I'm the guy calling the plays. Our offense has got to get better. Did you kind of have that same little moment there after getting shut out in week one of, hey, we've got to figure this thing out?
Absolutely. As a staff and as players and, I looked at our players after the EY game. I said, look, when y'all walk out this door, it makes it easy. I said, I got big shoulders. Just put it on me. And we didn't do a good job getting y'all prepared as we should have. And when we got in here as a staff, we made it a point to say, okay, what's going to be our identity? Because I didn't think we had one week one. And, I wanted us to be able to run the ball more. And our identity came back, this week. And, we threw for, over 200-plus yards. And we had a 100-yard rusher. And, I think we had 400-plus yards of offense. So when you do that, I think it's something that as a coaching staff, it started with us. And, we had to improve. And then, of course, our kids improved this week.
When the schedule was revamped because of COVID and the first two games were wiped out, I sort of went and looked at each high school and thought, this might be a plus for this high school, this might be a minus. When I looked at Assumption, I thought it might be a minus just from the standpoint of the first three games you were going to have were going to be really tough, brutal, different kinds of teams, too, in E.D. White, Denham Springs, and now St. James, if I'm not mistaken, next week. Did you see them last night? Because obviously we all know that St. James has been a really good program over the last couple of years. And what's your thoughts?
Well, I did go watch the game and, feel like, man, they're really explosive. I thought Destrahan, playing them all those years, I really was impressed with Destrahan's defense. The thing about it is I think St. James's defense is really good. They got probably one of the best kickers and punters that I've ever seen in high school. So when you put all those things together, they got explosive athletes that on offense, but that also, are returners, and they got really good athletes in the secondary. They got the LSU, committed DN, and I just think they are well-rounded, well-coached, and they're going to present problems for us. Just like they present problems for everybody. How do you block 34 and 10? And then defensively, how do you stop all of their weapons? Right now when they kick off, he's starting at the 20 because he's kicking it out the back of the end zone. He punts the ball to the moon. And, we're just going to have to, really tighten up on some things. And, we're going over there. That's going to be their home opener. And so, ought to be a great atmosphere.
Coach, you have a little bit of extra time. Talk us through the change in routine. Usually you play on Friday and you've got the routine figured out. Playing on Wednesday is going to be a little bit different. Talk us through your schedule for the upcoming week.
Ooh, that was crazy. But Thursday we had half a day, so we were able to bring out, keep our players in and really go over film and lift weights and stuff. Wednesday sent the staff home with the film and said, I didn't know with the weather and I didn't want to meet with our staff today. Just because I didn't know where people were going to be, without power or whatever. And so, tomorrow night will be our normal staff meeting at 5 and getting to work. And then after all of these time off, we have fall break Monday and Tuesday. So go figure that out. So, we're going to practice in the mornings Monday and Tuesday and just get, just try to be as normal as we can with meetings and weightlifting and film sessions and all those things that we do on a normal week, just try to keep our kids going and, corral them up and get them here and, do the best we can.
As much as anybody could settle in during this pandemic time, are you settling in at Assumption High School or is it still, there's still some newness to all of this?
Well, I think, there's newness, Stan, just from the standpoint of me still learning kids, I've never seen the kids, play. Well, we've had two games now, so it's starting to wear off. But as far as the school and the community, it's great. The Bayou is, to me, the Bayou. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's this. I was blessed to marry a girl from here, so, a lot of the people know her. And it's just, really good. The school's great. We have great kids that play football for us. And, it's, but shoot, Stan, it's been a start and stop. You know, we had 6 days off with two hurricanes back to back, and then we had two, you know, a day and a half off of this one. I mean, it's just kind of like start and stop, and you know, really no routine, you know, yet that we can say, hey, we've been doing this for 5 weeks or 6 weeks, you know. So hopefully this is the end of all that stuff, and, you know, in the next 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, we can be in, you know, in a pretty good routine.
Very good. Well, look, Coach, we thank you so much for the time, and best of luck against St. James on Friday.
Thanks, guys. And, look, man, hopefully I made it through the storm okay. We did, and always a pleasure to come on with you guys.
Absolutely, my friend. That is Keith Menard with Assumption doing a great job, as always. His team got a challenge against St. James, but I'm sure they'll be up to that task. Let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we'll shift gears from high school football a little bit and talk about some things going on in the MLB. Y'all, the MLB playoffs have been fun as heck. Last night, there was an amazing baseball game between the Rays and the Yankees in which Tampa Bay unseated the big Goliath. We'll talk about all that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3.
This is Brent Abbey, and I need your vote. I am an honors graduate of Tulane Law School, was a deputy sheriff for 11 years, and a volunteer firefighter for 10 years. I was an emergency medical technician, roasted on hot rig floors and baked in hot attics fixing air conditioners. I am like most of you hardworking regular people in Lafourche Parish. I'm not perfect, but as a Catholic, I pray for forgiveness. Today, I am asking for your vote for me for district attorney on November 3rd, paid for by Brent for DA.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers, anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for. Even though kickoff isn't until 7, the game where the Goodyear blimp becomes the Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
We love to talk about football here on the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute, but we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the things going on in the world of the MLB. The baseball playoffs have been expanded this year, and I've been fascinated throughout, in part because my team of rooting interest is still in play, but also just because of some of the drama. Last night I watched the Rays and the Yankees every single pitch, and I was, you know, glued to the TV. The Rays, Stan, how about this? Gerrit Cole and I'm going to forget the second Yankee player, but two Yankee players make more than the entire Rays roster make in a given season, and yet the Rays are the team that comes out of the postseason. They won the AL East as well. The Rays score a thrilling 2-1 victory, win that series 3-2 in the decisive Game 5. Kudos to the Rays, man. I was like talking to it last night. The dollar store beat Apple last night. It's good for the Rays to move on and punch a ticket into the Final Four.
That's a good analogy, one. Two, kudos to you because you called this. You said that the Rays would beat the Yankees in that series. So, again, kudos to you. And three, for anybody who is a huge Yankee fan, and there are a lot of them across our country, not just from New York, not just from Tampa, where they, you know, that's another thing. And when I say not just from Tampa, realize that the spring facilities for the Yankees is in Tampa. So when they play in Tampa, a lot of times there's just as many Yankees fans in Tropicana as there are Rays fans. And that aggravates me, as if you ever go look at how much the bankroll is for the Yankees compared to virtually anybody else, but especially to the Rays, because the Rays are always down at the bottom. It's amazing they come up with a win, and that's what I like about baseball. The truth is I kind of got away from it, obviously, with high school football starting. You know, that's where my energies were shifted. But, you know, when the Astros got in, so you got in back heavy because of the Braves. I sort of got back in because of the Astros. You look at the big picture, and, yeah, I'm you know, hindsight being 2020, although I did not think the Rays would get past the Yankees, I'm certainly glad that they did. And Brandon Lowe has always been kind of a favorite of mine. He just goes about his business at second base for the Rays and does his job, and he's coming up big. So that ought to be a big one. The problem is now they have to take on, you know, the Astros, and that's tough for me to pull against the Astros.
What about Truck plays the laugh track? What about the story of, you got the Brousseau kid for the Rays, who earlier in the season almost started a bench clearing fight with Aroldis Chapman because Chapman threw a 101 mile power fastball behind him. He gets another opportunity last night to face Chapman, takes him yard. That's what baseball dreams are made of. And Brousseau, and the reason why I bring this up, Brousseau, in a sport of baseball which has a 50-plus round draft, Brousseau was undrafted. So young man, young woman, listening to this show, if you want to be an athlete at the college level or the pro level, and you get told by coaches, hey, you're not good enough, I'm not giving you an offer, whatever it may be, keep working. This young man here was not drafted in the MLB draft and hit the game-winning, series-winning home run to help his team. That's what dreams are made
of. Wasn't that his only, like, home run of this season? If I'm not mistaken, I mean, that's good stuff, you know, and just to get up there and do it. And listen, Chapman threw at him earlier in the year. That's basically what it boiled down to. So, again, you talk about David versus Goliath. That was it. And I think there are a lot of people who, if they were passive on Major League Baseball, they've become Rays fans going forward. I think that, you know, they're going to build up a lot of steam, and I do believe that baseball is one of those sports. It's hard for me to fathom that the Marlins losing in the prior round, okay, that was the first time they ever got defeated in a series in Major League Baseball. You know, so I think there's some kind of, once you get in, you become a team of destiny, and maybe that's what the Rays are this year. I had the opportunity to go out to Tropicana last year, and it broke my streak of teams that made it to the World Series, because if you realize before that, 4 years in a row, the teams I went to see, they made it in. So maybe I was just 1 year off with the Rays. We'll see how they do against the Astros. This is going to be a tough series for me. I may not be able to watch this series.
On the National League side, you've got the Dodgers, who are just a behemoth. They were already a behemoth. You add Mookie Betts on top of that. They're loaded. And then you got my Braves, who, in the regular season, the Braves' pitching was not good. And then in the playoffs, four out of the five games they've recorded a shutout. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if they could sustain that against the Dodgers. But look, Atlanta could score some runs now. These are some games that could be very exciting, very explosive, because both teams have a potential to hang 7-8 runs on any given night. I think there's going to be some high-scoring games.
Well, listen, the Braves are going to have to score some runs because, again, we knew from the very beginning that the three guys that the Dodgers will run out there as starters in these type of series are going to be really, really good. But it's more than that. They're just good from top to bottom.
Yep.
Kershaw has always had that jinx when it comes to things like this, so maybe he still will. And your boys, Acuna and Ozuna, they better be on tap, because if they're not, this could be a quick series. I just think all odds again, I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but I think the powers that be would love to see the Dodgers do well in this. And when a team like that has all of that mojo going with them, it's really tough. But again, again, and when you texted me earlier, I like that you put it. It's sort of nice to see these dollar store teams coming up and doing these things. These not necessarily a small market, but a team that may not have the bankroll that these other teams have come up and do it. And I would love to see the Rays, and I would love to see the Braves get there. The only problem is I'm an Astros fan, but I don't mind if the Astros don't get there this year, because I guess that's my way of punishing them for, you know, stealing signals in the past or whatever.
Speaking of that, how crazy would it be if it were Astros and Dodgers in the World Series again? You think baseball's counting their printing and counting their money yet? Because, boy, that would be a big-time ratings draw.
Yeah, and that, I would venture to say that would be exactly what Major League Baseball would want. From the Braves, from the Astros perspective, I'm sure they're like, wait a minute, you guys all said that we cheated and we didn't deserve that World Series. You can say all you want, but everybody in some way, shape, or form tries to steal signals. We did get caught, and maybe we used the electronics and went a little bit overboard in the means that we stole signals, but we're going to show you that we could still play baseball. And they've been there for the last 3 years. They understand this playoff, you know, atmosphere and such, even though it's a little bit weird this year. And when you look at that roster, you know, you don't even mention Bregman as being one of the superstars as far as offense on that team. So they very well could be there too. And with these four teams that are heading into the finals to get to the World Series, I would put the Astros maybe as in second place of being your best bet to get to the finals. And unfortunately, just because the Braves hadn't been around this rarefied air in a while, maybe the Braves might have the toughest time getting in.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. What would be interesting is if the Astros were to win it all, they finished the regular season below 500. Wouldn't it be such a 2020 thing to happen, to have an MLB team finish below 500 and win the World Championship? Hey, that's the way that the system fell. Everybody that was top two in their division got in. The Astros kind of coasted, knowing that they were locked into that number two seed in the AL West. It'd just be kind of an interesting wrinkle one day that we'd be looking out in the record book and seeing, hey, that team didn't even have a winning record, but they won it all. Could be maybe an interesting wrinkle to an odd season.
Yeah, when you consider they have 29 wins on the year, 29 wins, and you only played 60 games, and then you look at the Rays who have 40 wins, you realize that the discrepancy is huge between the two winning percentages of those teams with just the amount of games that were played in Major League Baseball. So that's a little weird. There are a lot of teams, quite honestly, that we thought the middle-of-the-pack teams. Obviously, the Dodgers and the Rays, who finished basically, again, at the top of the American and National League, we figured, well, they're going to be there. But it's all those teams right after, you know, the A's and the Cubs that we thought, these are going to be your teams that are going to represent, you know, when they get to the pennant. Not so. It was the guys from the bottom, well, not necessarily the Marlins. I know your Braves come up and do a good job there, but man, it's just such a weird time that nothing would surprise me. And again, my hardest thing is that being an Astros fan, I would pull for the Astros, being a person who would love to see the ultimate David, you know, being the Rays, I'd kind of like to see them get into the finals.
No doubt about it. So let's talk some MLB in that segment. Let's catch a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk about the New Orleans Saints. It was a squad that many thought couldn't prevail in Detroit last week, but they did. But you look at the injury list this week, not much has cleared up. They've still got a bunch of guys potentially out for Monday night showdown against the Chargers. We'll talk about that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3, 1600 AM KLEB, and 102.7 KLEB FM.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
Ramsey's has 50 showcases full of designer diamond jewelry.
If you don't think 50 is a lot, just count to 50 out loud. 1, 2, 3,
and every one of those showcases is overflowing. No one gives you more choices. No one gives you better prices.
14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay, big brother, I think that's enough.
50 showcases full of diamonds.
And designer engagement ring prototypes that haven't even been manufactured yet.
Designers like Gabriel.
Martin Flyer.
Yurlon.
Golden West.
Noam Carver.
And others.
What do you mean, and others?
I mean, we also have other designers.
You left out my favorite.
I think we've listed enough designers.
You left out Lori Ramsey. She creates the most beautiful designs in the world.
Every little sister should have a big brother like mine.
Other stores make empty claims and empty promises.
Ramsey's makes fantastic deals on fabulous diamond engagement rings.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. I'm committed to protecting the children of Lafourche Parish, ensuring the safety of our citizens, holding criminals accountable, providing alternatives for first-time nonviolent offenders, promoting educational programs to our youth and senior citizens, and prioritizing the needs and well-being of victims. I have developed programs and policies to honor this commitment, and your vote will allow us to continue to move Lafourche forward.
Early voting begins October 16th, and Election Day is November 3rd. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. Casey and Stan enjoying our Saturday morning. We hope the same for all of you guys at home. The Saints did something that a lot of folks didn't expect they could do. They won a game without six starters on the road against Detroit last Sunday. Kudos to them for pulling that one out. It was a huge win for them, improving to 2-2. Now they head into a Monday night matchup with the Chargers, and you look at the injury list, and it's still awfully murky. Deontay Harris, questionable. Jared Cook, questionable. Michael Thomas, Janoris Jenkins, Malcolm Jenkins, Marshawn Lattimore, all questionable. Trey Hendrickson, questionable. Andres Pete, Marcus Davenport, questionable. Ryan Ramczyk, questionable. Stan, it feels like the entire team is 50-50 on whether or not they're going to play, so the injury list is still pretty long. But according to some of the reports around the team, some of these guys, Jenkins, Ramczyk, and others, are expected to play. But it is a beat-up black and blue locker room right now for New Orleans.
With the Saints, sometimes it's as little as one of those guys not being able to play, but Sean Payton's not scared to put them all on the inactive list, so who knows what's going to happen. I don't know if that matters at all to the Chargers either or the opponent each week, but you got to give them a lot of credit at what they did against the Lions last week. They were very shorthanded. A lot of people did not think they could win. As a matter of fact, I think I actually picked them to win, but I picked them to win just because of a sense of urgency. But deep down inside, I thought with all of those guys missing, they were not going to be able to win. They did it. They played extremely well on offense. I still worry about that defense. As a matter of fact, I worry about that defense a whole lot. But maybe a little reprieve with the Chargers. You know, the Chargers are going to be starting that rookie at quarterback. And as weeks have gone on since he made his first appearance, it looks like people may be catching on to him just a little bit. No Eckler in the backfield, and I think he's one of those underrated backs out of the backfield for the Chargers. So maybe this is an opportunity for Saints to get a couple of wins in a row and get healthy because it's a bye week next week. So things might be playing in line. It's funny how when they lost that game and they lost two in a row after the Packers game, we thought the sky is falling and this could turn into a really bad thing. And now just 2 weeks later, it could potentially, it could be that the Saints are going into their off week, maybe in a good situation, especially what happened to the Bucs on Thursday night, which was a little bit weird to me because I didn't think that Chicago could beat them. But boy, that was a big gift for the Saints.
Absolutely. And if you look at this matchup, I agree New Orleans has a far better roster. The only little cause for concern that I would have is that the Chargers have a very good front. And just a couple weeks ago, they were kind of pushing around Kansas City for a little bit, making things difficult for Mahomes. If you're going to tell me that Ramczyk and Pete both may not be available, I don't know, maybe they could get to Drew Brees a little bit. But if Drew's got time, their secondary is not the best. We saw Tom Brady exploit the Chargers last week. And one thing that Drew is starting to develop that we've been kind of waiting on is that chemistry with Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders had a big game last Sunday against Detroit, nearly had 100 yards receiving. So good on New Orleans for kind of finding that second weapon for whenever Michael Thomas gets back. Or I guess it's going to be a third weapon with Kamara and Thomas both available.
Well, two things scare me about this game. One, isn't this kind of the game that the Saints lose usually? You know, I mean, when you think it's all getting together, that team that is sort of mediocre comes in and beats them. So that's one.
Like the Raiders.
The other is, yeah, exactly. And the other is Keenan Allen. I just think he's one of the best receivers in the NFL who goes under the radar. And the way the Saints' defensive secondary has been as of late, boy, I wish I had the kid in fantasy football because I think he's going to run it up this week. So, yeah, those type things scare me. Again, nobody in the dome. I'm not sure that makes that big of a difference, but we've seen teams come in and quarterbacks in their press conferences after the game go, boy, it's so nice to play in that dome with nobody there as opposed to, you know, 78,000 fans in my ear. So that's an advantage maybe to the Chargers just a little bit. But again, on paper, no matter who the Saints have out in this game, this is the kind of game you have to win and you should win.
I agree. One thing that, you know, we've talked throughout the summer about this is that, hey, we're dealing with this pandemic and there's always things that you could learn. There's always things that you could develop and do better. I really hope, Stan, that the NFL sees what's happening with these games being postponed and moved. And I sincerely hope that they use this going forward and we have a more balanced schedule. I'm all for having an NFL game on Saturday afternoon. I'm all for having two Monday night games. I'm all for having games scattered throughout the week because you know what? I think it's ridiculous that in the NFL there are 14, 15 games on a given week and most of the country could only watch two or three of them because those are the only ones that are televised. I think it's great that we, for a second straight week, are going to have two Monday night games. I think that it's great that we're going to have a Tuesday game. Anything that makes the sport more available to a greater, larger portion of the population is awesome. I hope that we loosen up that 12 o'clock Sunday kickoff thing in the future because it's been fun being able to have more access to more games over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the way this COVID situation has worked out, I'm not sure the NFL sitting back right now going, we sort of like this because we're going to get more exposure with these midweek games and such. I would have never thought, I really would have never thought we've come to the point of moving some of these games from a Monday to a Tuesday or from a Thursday that it was regularly scheduled and we can't play on the Thursday because we need to give this team a little bit more time. I guess because you don't have fans in the stands, it's easier to do. And if we would have, you know, full capacity going into games, they may not be able to do this that easy because of logistics. But it does show that I guess there are the, you know, flexible measures that they can pull off, and that's what they're doing. So I'm just glad we're playing. You know, Coach Rod and I talked during the week a couple of times this week, and we both were like, you know, if you shut everything down, it becomes extremely tough to move forward. Whereas if you kind of work your way through it, it might be tough this year, but you proved you could do it. You proved that the world is going to be okay, and you kind of get it done. And that's the point we're at. That's the point we're going to have to live with.
Well, folks were so concerned even with something as basic as school opening back up. And I did a story yesterday afternoon. On average, there's fewer than one COVID case per school in Louisiana, and that's with schools having been open almost 2 months. You got to learn to cooperate with this thing and work with it because, you know, if we take our ball and run home, we're not going to have much of a life because I don't think this thing's going away. You know, I think that this is going to just be something that we have to cooperate with. And I think you're right. You know, we've got to find ways to do sports safely. We've got to find ways to, you know, do our work more safely and whatever it may be. So, I agree 100% with what you just said.
Yeah, we live in a world that's going to be a little different from here on out. So if we can get through it now, look at what we've learned since March just in the healthcare industry going forward and taking care of this. Obviously, hospitalizations are down. It's not because, primarily, it's not because of just less cases. It's because we've learned a lot, you know, and I think that's going to happen with sports too. And let me share this real quick, and I'm going to go back to our baseball segment. I was fortunate enough to have a text sent to me by G. Cassard, our friend who used to be at Vanderbilt Catholic and is now at Ascension Catholic. Thanks, G, for sending me this. You mentioned the Yankees at the top of the payroll, $113 million. So the Yankees are number one at $113 million. At number two are the Dodgers at $105 million. And then you go down to the very bottom, and at number 27, the Tampa Bay Rays, $28 million. So think about that, folks. You have the Yankees paying $113 million in payroll, and you have Tampa Bay paying $28 million. Unbelievable. And for you folks who are wondering about the Astros and the Braves, the Astros come in at number five. They're $81 million. So that's fairly high. And your your Braves are sitting at 13 at $65 million. So, again, an overview. The number one team is not playing for a pennant. The number two team is, the number five team is, the number 13 team is, and the number 27 team is. So the more I look at these things, the more I'm pulling for the Rays, I think, just to come up from the bottom and win it all.
And that's why baseball is awesome, because you wouldn't see that in the NFL. You certainly wouldn't see that in the NBA. Baseball is the only sport where that could happen. Thanks to G for sharing that information with us. Hope you're doing well, buddy. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. Our Pick'em segment, it was a rough week for all of us last week. Stan was actually the only person that finished above 500 last week. So we'll talk about that and make our picks for the upcoming week. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Laura was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Tired of slow internet speeds or trying to watch everything on your phone? Vision Communications has a special 50-50 offer just for you. 50 megs at your home for only $50 a month. You will be connected for everything, streaming TV shows, surfing, and playing games. And Vision's 50 megs will keep everyone in the house happy at a great price. This offer is for your first 6 months of service and is for new internet customers only. As always, you will get the personal service you deserve from Vision. For offer details, visit us at viscom.net.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so bad to the point where he had to end up in the emergency room. And he has spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy to tell people not to smoke around your kids.
4 out of 10 U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants free help to quit smoking, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
We've got a loaded schedule to pick from this week. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Last week, Truck and I were 5-6. Stan was 6-5 because he was the only one of the three that had faith in the Saints to win, so that was the difference. Truck is 28-12 on the season. Stan is 24-15 on the season. I'm 23-16 on the season. We've got a loaded slate of games to pick from today. We begin in the SEC at College Station for a game that's going to kick off in 10 minutes. Florida, the number 4 team in the country, traveling to take on number 21, Texas A&M. Florida is a 5-point favorite in this game, gentlemen.
Are we going to be fair to Stan and make him go first? I know you cry.
However y'all want to do it.
Let's keep doing what we're doing.
Okay, yeah, Stan, go ahead.
Listen, because it fared out, it didn't fare out okay, and you said I had faith in the Saints. I had no faith in the Saints. their backs were up against the wall. But, you know, and I believe me, this doesn't make a difference, me picking first in this. I'm going to go with Florida, although I do think this will be a really tight game because Jimbo Fisher, somewhere along the line, has got to show his worth, and I assume he would like to start that this week.
Too much. Florida's got too much on the line. Florida.
Yeah, I don't think Texas A&M's any good. If Texas A&M struggled to beat that Vanderbilt team that we saw last Saturday, I don't think they're any good. I think Florida's going to roll in this one. Interesting game in the ACC. We've got Virginia Tech, the number 19 team in the country, traveling to play North Carolina, the number 8 team in the country. A lot of folks didn't realize that Mac Brown is currently coaching the number 8 team in the country. This is going to be a wet and rainy game. Why? Because Delta is now sweeping across North Carolina. So, gentlemen, we got Hokies, we've got Tar Heels. Who you got in this one?
Oh, this is interesting. Virginia Tech hadn't played very many games. I'll go with North Carolina, one, because it's at home, and two, because they might be a little bit more seasoned than Virginia Tech.
Mac Brown. North Carolina.
Yeah, I'm going Mac Brown in North Carolina as well. I think this has the potential to be one of the games of the day, though. I think it's going to be very close. The Red River Shootout starting at 11 o'clock. Both teams have been scuffling. Texas is 2-1, could just as easily be 1-2 if not for a miracle win against Texas Tech. And Oklahoma, gentlemen, they are 1-2 on the season. Last time Oklahoma was below 500, I don't know. When was the last time Oklahoma was not in the top 25? They're neither right now, but yet they're still a 3-point favorite in this game against Texas.
I'm going to go with the 3-point favorite, Oklahoma. They had big leads in their games and probably should have put the team away, and I attribute that to you. So, yeah, well, at least for my pick's sake, I hope they learn their lesson and they pull out a win.
Longhorns.
Truck is going Texas in this game. I'm going to also go Texas in this game because I think that they've got the more experienced quarterback in Ellinger. That Rattler kid, though he's been playing well, he just makes me a little bit nervous. So give me Texas in this game. A low-key SEC game that has potential to be very good. We've got Mississippi State traveling to take on Kentucky. I don't know anything about Mississippi State anymore. They looked poor last week. Now they're going to be taking on Kentucky on the road. Kentucky's 0-2, hungry for a win. They're a 3-point home favorite.
Kentucky, I think Kentucky's, and listen, it's because of what Mississippi State did last week, but Kentucky needs a win bad, and when you need a win bad, you focus, and I think they'll be focused.
A bad LSU backfield, defensive backfield, made Mississippi State look good. I got to go Kentucky.
I think Kentucky is going to do what we saw Arkansas do last week, which is rush three, drop eight, and force the quarterback to throw into traffic. I think Kentucky's going to win this game. Miami and Clemson, a top 10 matchup. Everybody all season long talked about how Clemson wasn't going to be challenged and this, that, and the other. But now they've got a matchup against a Miami team that has played pretty well. Number seven, Miami. Number one, Clemson. Clemson is a two-touchdown favorite, gentlemen.
Clemson.
Second loss for the long-haired quarterback, Miami.
Whoa, Truck is going with the big upset in this one. I think Clemson may not cover, but I think that Clemson's going to win the football game. This is also a game, gentlemen, that's going to be played in some rains from Delta. We shift to the NFL. We've got the Colts and the Browns. We made fun of the Browns after week one when they got creamed by the Ravens. Since then, they've won, have scored more than 30 points in three straight games. This is an even money game, which means Vegas says, hey, we don't have a clue. They're saying it's a pick 'em game, Colts and Browns tomorrow in Cleveland.
You know, I'm going to go with the Browns. I think they may have, you know, since they're not as much in the limelight, I think they're going to be good for a couple of more wins until we all start jumping on the bandwagon, then they'll start losing again. So I'll go Browns.
Talent built up the last couple of years. They haven't played up to their level, but I'm going to say Browns.
Yeah, I agree. Look, everybody talks about Odell and Jarvis Landry, but the Browns can run the heck out of the ball. They've got, you know, a couple of running backs. They run the ball very well. I'm going to go Cleveland to win this one. A game that's going to be played on Tuesday. It's a matchup of undefeated teams. We've got the Bills and the Titans. Vegas doesn't have a line on this one because, frankly, we don't know who's available for Tennessee after their COVID outbreak. So we've got undefeated Bills, undefeated Titans on Tuesday, Stan.
Just because we don't know about the Titans, and the Titans had a couple of close calls too. Of course, the Bills did too. Man, I hate to overthink myself. So, Bills, I think the Bills will win it.
Buffalo Bills.
My sleeper pick to win the Super Bowl this year were the Buffalo Bills. They're 4-0. Josh Allen's playing well. I'm going to go Bills in this one. It's hard to bet on a team that you don't know who's available and who's not. I'm going to go Buffalo in this one. We've got an NFC South matchup. We've got the Panthers and the Falcons. The Panthers are 2-2. The Falcons invent ways to lose games. They're 0-4. Vegas is still hanging on to hope. Atlanta's a 1-point favorite in this game. Gentlemen, will they finally get off the schneid?
Where's the game?
In Atlanta.
I think the Falcons are going to win. Listen, the Falcons scare me as far as the Saints are concerned. I think the Falcons might lose every game this year except for the NFC South games. They might beat all of the NFC South teams.
Noodle arm. I
think they'll win.
Noodle arm. I'm going with Stan on that one. Falcons, their first victory.
You know, Carolina's been playing better than what a lot of folks thought they would, but I just don't understand why Atlanta's not a better football team than 0-4. You've got a quarterback, you've got weapons. I'm going to go Atlanta at home on this one. In the Dome, Monday night, we've got the Chargers, we've got the Saints, a Chargers team that is 1-3 playing a rookie quarterback. Usually that would be a recipe for disaster going into the Dome, but without fans in the stands, it's a little bit different. The Saints are a big favorite in this game, an 8.5-point favorite. Stan, will they win, and then will they cover?
They will win, but I don't think they'll cover. And quite honestly, I think it's going to be a game that's going to scare the bejesus out of Saints fans, and we'll be disappointed that they didn't play better. But I do think they'll find a way to win it.
Oh boy, we're betting points and victory, or just victory?
The heads up is the only one we're going to score, but just
Saints,
for comparison's sake,
Saints. Okay. But like Stan, they make it too close. They're not going to cover. Saints will win.
I think the Saints are going to win on a late field goal from Lutz. I think the Chargers front is going to disrupt the beat-up Saints offensive line. Give me the Saints by a field goal in this one. Now we travel out to Missouri for the LSU Tigers and the Missouri Tigers, a matchup that technically is a home game for LSU. They're going to be on the home sideline and all that craziness with the game being moved. LSU's a 14.5-point favorite against Missouri. Coincidentally enough, Missouri once had to play a home game at Baton Rouge, so it's kind of a role reversal here. Will LSU defend their home/road field today against Missouri?
What, this is kind of funny. I was just thinking about this. I'm glad I'm going first, because if I were going last when I was picking, I would think about what you two guys are doing, overthink it, and try and – so I'm glad I'm going first. But that being said, I wish I knew Truck's pick on this one, because Truck picked LSU very, very well. And this one sort of scares me, because Miami really has nothing to lose the whole year long, and they've been playing teams fairly good in a heads-up competition. I do think LSU is going to win it, so I guess that's the bottom line. So, yeah, let's go LSU. I'm just not confident that it's going to be a well-played game by LSU.
Vegas and I think John Emery is going to have a big game, and I'm going to go with LSU.
It's a sweep. We're all LSU. I think that LSU is going to do just enough. I thought that their pass defense looked pretty good last week. I think the Tigers of LSU are going to win this one. We want to thank everybody for listening.
Time out.
What's up?
1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, South Lafourche Tarpons hosting the Lutcher Bulldogs live and direct on 100.3 and 1600, I believe. If we don't have any conflicting games, but we will be on radio, and team1prep.com, you can pay-per-view, school gets the proceeds. You can watch the game if you can't make it, but Lutcher Bulldogs or the Tarpons, your pick.
If the Tarpons were full strength, I would go a different way, but it's hard to bet on the team that has six or seven starters out. Give me the Bulldogs.
No, and when I found out that they were the skilled position players for South Lafourche, that made it even worse. So I'd have to go Bulldogs, although I do believe, just like Casey said, in a given circumstance, this might not be my pick.
Well, here's a chance for non-starters to make a miracle. I am going Tarpons all the way.
There we go.
With a big upset of the state champions, right, Lutcher?
No.
Perennial
in the past,
state champions.
Not, yeah, perennial state champions. Yeah. That's right.
But
very good football.
They're going to be taken down tomorrow.
I hope you're right, my man. Let's want to thank Archie Adams. I want to thank Coach Keith Menard. Thanks, Coach Rod and Stan and Truck and everybody for a great show. Everybody in Southeast Louisiana, exhale. Let's enjoy the next couple of days. I know it's been a rough stretch. Hell, it's been a rough year. So you guys have a great weekend. It's been the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them.